Hey everyone, it's Jess. I apologize, it has been ages since I have recorded a little podcast for you. My goal typically is to do one monthly, and I have kind of taken a pause from that. But a theme is coming up pretty frequently in the clinic that I thought it would be great to pop on and discuss quickly. It's burnout, and this is going to be an ongoing thing for us for the rest of our careers, because that's just part of the nature of the work that we do. There's a couple of themes that are coming up, and I want to talk about some of the things. Let's address it, and let's talk about what are some solutions and how can we kind of help protect ourselves against this. We are all caring, compassionate people. That's why we're in these positions. That's why you guys are all fantastic at your jobs too. But as therapists who care and have a lot of compassion, we do tend to overstretch ourselves and give too much and have a hard time setting boundaries. So one of the biggest areas I think that has come up consistently across the clinic and really across the time we've been in business is kind of that emotional burnout, that emotional toll that treatment takes on us. I think especially in our line of work where we're doing a lot of neurodiversity affirming work, we're doing a lot of education to families, we're meeting a lot of resistance, we're battling two patients, our patients and our parents, to try to get both on board to make progress. And we are often in a situation, I find anyways, where we see the potential in a patient and we see the barriers. Often it's the parents or educational systems, and it's things we can't change. And we try and we try and we try, and it just doesn't work. So I think it's really important to keep in mind that it's okay to pull back resources. You can't give your all to every single patient that walks through that door. We always try, right? We're still going to give education, give our best possible therapy. But at the end of the day, you know the parents are going to carry over your home program, and the ones that aren't, the ones that you know are going to do it and they're going to be consistent and their kids are going to make good rate progress, that's where you pour your energy and resources into. The people who are probably not going to do it, they're never going to do it. And that child's never going to make progress, not because of your effort or lack thereof, but because of the other supports that are missing in their life. So that's where you hold back your support if you need to. You know, maybe you still give out some default handouts. We've got lots of those. And if you need more, let's get more. You know, save your tools and resources on the drive so we can access them together. But maybe you're not going to make something customized for them. You know, maybe you're not going to reply to every single email with a very in-depth response. If you have families who are emailing you a lot, you might say, hey, I got your email. Thank you so much for this. I would love to chat more about this in our session. I would love to set up a parent education meeting. Remember that we have those as a resource. They're a fantastic time. Your time is valuable. Parents should be paying for it. If it's a quick question or whatever, you know, quick phone call, that's one thing. If it's going to be an extended thing, they should book a session with you. And we do charge that at a much lower rate because it is one of the most valuable things that we have in the clinic. And I want families to take advantage of it. And it's okay to say, hey, this is what I'm recommending. You know, I can give you some brief resources and guidance. We can talk about it in our session if that's just not, you know, feasible for you to pay out of pocket for a meeting with me. But if they want something more in depth, they want 30 plus minutes of your time, it's where we really need to start scheduling things. And I will back you on that. If it's a quick 15 minute call, something you endure during a session, that's fine. If they're looking at like 30 minutes or more of your time, you say that's something that needs to be scheduled and booked as a session. And we, you know, have a lower rate for that. So don't be afraid to set boundaries. I think the other one that comes up a lot is that, you know, certain times of the year, especially, or when you're getting new patients, we're getting lots of requests for, I want feedback. I want a home program. I want you to coordinate care with this therapist or with this school. It's okay to set boundaries and say, you know what, here's what I have available to chat. I don't have any availability this week. I won't have availability till next week. Can we set something up then? Nothing is urgent. There are no therapy emergencies. The family often thinks it's urgent because to them it is, but the reality is that, you know, some of these things require more planning and they can't expect you to be on call 24/7. And you can pick and choose, again, if there's a family who's like really dedicated and you do think this is like a more serious situation, you might prioritize that. But then other people, you might say, you know what, you failed to tell me about an IEP that you probably have scheduled for a long time. You start telling me about it the day before. We've had parents be like, I have an IEP tomorrow. Can I get some input? You know what? I'm not going to have any time today. I'm scheduled book. I'm back to back with patients. And that's what you can say. And it's okay to do that and to say, I don't have that time. And here's when I will have time. Also keep in mind if there's things that parents want typed up, little suggestion sheets. We do have a number of templates on the drive. Obviously, they're mostly OT because it's mostly ones I've put on there. But feel free if you're speech or PT to put them on the drive as well. Templates that you have from other kids, we can save them, tweak, and we can not have to reinvent the wheel. And then it's okay also to space out expectations. If you have a patient who is due for a reevaluation, or you want to schedule an AAC evaluation, or you know, you want to even update goals, it's okay to say, hey, Johnny met 2 out of his 4 goals today, and he's due for a progress note, but I don't have the capacity right now to write new goals until the next progress note. That's okay. As long as he's got goals in there that you're addressing and there's enough for you to work on, you can work on stuff that's above and beyond what your goals say. You can still work on those new things informally in session. You can still document it. You just want to have a goal written for it to really formally track progress. But then you just, when you write your goal, you might start at a different baseline. It's okay to set those boundaries and say, I just can't right now. I have too many progress notes. Or evaluations, you know, spacing some of those out. If you're reevaluating a child or you wanted to do an assessment with a kid or some task that requires a lot more preparation where it takes more work for you to set up an activity, it's okay to say, you know what, I was going to do that today and now I'm not going to because I had all these other things come up that I didn't expect. That's okay. And be sure to use each other as a resource. Vent about your patients. It's okay to say, man, this kid really challenged me today, or I can't believe this or this happened, or I'm so frustrated with these parents. We need to lean on each other because we are all in this shared experience together, and that's really important to have those points of contact. And then obviously if it's getting above and beyond what you feel like you can manage, then it might also be time to seek out outside support, and it's totally okay and normal to receive therapy and have someone to vent to and to kind of talk through and work through those big emotions with, because we are taking on a pretty heavy emotional burden with our patients a lot of times. The other piece that often comes up with our work is the burnout we feel from documentation. Documentation sucks. We are never going to like it. And I promise it's probably never getting better because insurance will never go that way. They're going to just keep increasing our burden of documentation. So there's some things that we can do though, right? First of all, obviously, if there's anything that you are repeating in a note, don't. No redundancies, don't waste your time. And if you are saying something frequently in documentation where you are could copy and paste it, let me know, because let's get that in our template. Let's save you as much possible time. I think we need to also, again, keep in mind when we're doing evaluation write-ups, who are those kids that you're really going to like throw your all into an eval write-up? And who are the ones where you're like, I'm going to make this straight and to the point. I'm writing this for insurance. It's getting approved or it's not. And I'm moving on. You know, you can kind of gauge that even from an eval. There's those kids where you're like, wow, this kid like really needs somebody to explain him to a T, and I need to be more thorough here. And there's other kids where you're like, I feel like they got pretty good support. I'm going to put the basics down. Or where there's some families where like, I can tell that we are not quite on the same page. I'm going to put the basics down in the report, but I'm not going to go into great depth. Maybe I'm going to recommend a parent education session so I can like dive in deeper with them and do more education in the sessions, but I don't need to have it all out in writing. You know, there's a space there where you can decide how much to put into that. And I think you guys as therapists can make that decision. The other thing to keep in mind is that when possible, you are allowed to document in sessions. Now, as a rule, I don't require that. There are some clinics moving to point of service documentation, but I think it can be a nice tool. And you guys know the kids that you can pull it off with and the ones that you can't. If there's a kid you feel like, I could bring my laptop and document here and there and get a note done in a session, please do. If you knock even like 1 or 2 notes off of your week, by doing that, that's amazing. And that will make you feel so much better that you have two of those notes done. That's okay with us. Obviously, we know most of our kids really can't handle that, and that's really difficult for that therapeutic use of self, so that's why we do scheduled documentation time. The other thing that you can do is at the end of the day, opening up Therabell and just typing a couple of notes in the intervention list of a note. You know, just going in and opening up the note and saying, shoe tying, dressing, you know, swing, whatever activities you did just to jog your memory can really help, and then you also have part of your note kind of done. The other thing, if you don't already know, in our Therabell tutorial, Therabell does have a feature where you can copy from previous. So if your assessment, your intervention is kind of similar week to week, it is okay to copy it as long as you make some changes with it. It can't be exactly the same, but use that to save yourself some typing and some brain work. Another strategy we've talked about in the clinic is to make little handwritten notes in your sessions. That's a lot more easy, a lot easier to do for kids when you can do point of service documentation to just make notes. I have a session note template that I've shared with a couple of you that I used to keep when I was treating, keep several copies in a binder, and I'd carry one binder to all my kids, and I would document just briefly in very shorthand any updates the family told me about, a couple of things that we did that day, anything I wanted to remember about it. And it might be brief. Like I might just say shoe tying, min PA, min assist, or very dysregulated, whatever to jog my memory. And then I had a section for home program and for plan. So I would make a quick note if I gave them any kind of education. Again, very brief, like a word or two. And most importantly, I would make a note about my ideas or plans for the next session. Treatment planning can sometimes feel like a huge mental burden to our brains. And I think we underestimate as therapists how much mental time it takes us to stop, recall something. You know, what did we do 3 days ago with little Johnny? How did he respond? And what's my clinical interpretation? That's heavy brain work. That takes time. Or even going, okay, here's what he did. Here's where we're at. Here's his goals. What can I do this week with him? That all takes time. So I always find that I often have ideas within a session for the next session. You know, I'm watching them do cutting, or I'm watching them do on the swing going, oh, we need to do X, Y, Z, or, oh, this would be a cool idea for next time. And I would make a little note of it. So the next week when I go open up that binder, I'm like, I already know what I want to do because I have it written down. Now I don't have to do my treatment planning, right? Obviously, another easy way to do it is whenever possible, do child-led fully. Let them pick and modify on the fly. That takes some practice, and it also will partially depend on the kid. Sometimes you do need some more structured activities. Sometimes for those kids, what I do is when I'm doing the evaluation even, I might go in and write down ideas under recommendations, like treatment considerations, or, you know, things to work on. Or, you know, you might make some notes then too about, oh, I'd like to do this activity with them, and have a couple of like default ones you can rotate through. If you can incorporate some default sessions, like, you know, every few sessions we kind of do this similar activity, we pick a game that works on XYZ, or we pick this particular game every few sessions, you can build in a routine, alternate enough so it's different, and reduce some of that treatment planning burden too. And then the other idea is most of us having phones have some kind of a note feature on our phone. So I don't know if you're like me, my ideas pop into my head at random times of the day, like when I'm in the shower or when I'm driving. So if you find that's happening to you as well too, having a little notepad on your phone where you can go in and just quickly type a couple of ideas of a treatment that you thought of, or, you know, something you thought of but on a note that you want to remember, putting it in there can be really helpful so you don't have to recall it later. You can just open up that note and look in the one spot. Some other ideas that can help you guys with some of that burdensome mental load that we carry, and these are features that you may or may not know that you have. One of them is scheduling emails. So you have a feature in your Gmail where you can schedule an email. I do this all the time. So if you ever get a weird email from me that doesn't make a lot of sense, I probably scheduled it and then we had another chat. But let's say you want to remember to send something one way I use it often was those parents that never remember to bring anything to therapy. You remind them every week and they still don't show up with it. What I would do is when that kid would come in without whatever they're supposed to have, I'd be like, come here, let's go send your mom an email real quick. And I'd just send a quick email and I'd schedule it for the following week, the day before or the day of the appointment, to remember to bring shoes or whatever they needed to bring, some food. So I scheduled it in the moment I was thinking about it, but I planned for it to go out when I wanted them to receive it. It's a fantastic feature, so something to think about. You can also use this to schedule it to yourself. So sometimes if I have too many emails in my inbox, which happens a lot, I might not have time to respond to all of them. And if I feel like I need to at least acknowledge it, I will reply and say, hey, I just want you to know I got this. I'll follow up with you later this week. And then I click schedule send. I forward it back to myself, pick the date I want it to send. It will basically pop back up in my email then on, you know, whatever day I choose. And I can decide then to address it on a day when I'm like, ah, I know I have more time this day. I've got that cancellation. I don't have meetings, whatever it is. I use it all the time. You can also use your calendar feature. Remember that Gmail has a calendar. And this you have also through your Therapy Spot email. Go and create an event or a task reminder and set up a reminder in there. I'll give it a title under notes. I'll put more details of things that I want to remember. You know, this could be I'm doing a presentation and I want to remember a week before to contact them, confirm it, get a head count, figure out what my equipment needs are. And I'll set a reminder for all the times I want reminders for it. It could be multiple. I might set one 4 weeks before, 2 weeks before, a week before, an hour before, through email, through notification, however you want it to come. I, again, use that all the time, especially for my meetings, because I would probably never remember to show up to any of our meetings if I didn't have some kind of reminder. And then the other feature that you guys can use for remembering things is in Therabell. Therabell has a client alarm feature. If you don't know how to use it, let me know. You basically can create an alarm. You can title it whatever you want. You can put some details in there. You can schedule it for whatever day you want. This one you can't pick a time, but you can pick a day. They will send it in the morning. And then you put your own email address in there. It will email you that reminder. I apologize. The baby's waking up. It will email you that reminder on the day that you select. So you could put in a reminder, I want to do their progress note. I want to remember to give this test to them. I remember to prepare this activity for them, you know, whatever it is. And then it will pop up into your email. That's another great feature of just remembering things. So those are a few ideas that have come up in the past or things that I have used or other therapists have used. But obviously, if there's something that is feeling like a burden to your brain, and a lot of times it's hard to identify because it's a mental thing. It's like a cognitive thought process that's heavy. Let's figure out what are some shortcuts. How can we get that burden off of our brain onto technology, because it's 2024 and we have lots of it at our disposal, so that we can free up your brain space for all the beautiful work that you do. If you guys have anything that you're trying to troubleshoot, or if you have any great suggestions that are working for you, please do share with the rest of the staff. This is an area that I think we can continue to grow in. Let me know if you have any questions.